Welcome, welcome, welcome to Winning Hand, a podcast about Marvel Champions, one card at a time. I'm your host, Boom Guy, and I'm here today with Keiko.
Konnichiwa.
Lazy Titan.
How's it going?
And a special guest, Mr. Meeson.
Hello there.
Welcome back, listeners. Thanks to everyone who has been subscribing and listening. The response we have gotten continues to be great. It's really, really nice to see people enjoying the podcast and getting some useful information, at least entertainment, out of what we do. If you like what you're listening to, please do leave a rating. Please do write a review, especially in Apple Podcasts. The written reviews really do help us in the algorithm and get the podcast seen by more people. So that's really, really big for us. If you're new here, we are a podcast about Marvel Champions, the card game, which is a living card game from Fantasy Flight Games. Every episode, we discuss a single card from the card pool in detail and help you find new ways to use it in the decks that you play. So with that said, the first section of our podcast that we always do is what have we been playing before we go on to the card of the day. I will say, we teased in the last episode, the card of the day is Nova Prime, the signature ally from Star-Lord's kit. But let's talk about what we've been playing first. I've been playing a lot of the Repurpose archetype. Repurpose is a zero-cost event card that's protection. It says that you discard a tech you control and add the cost of that card to either your thwart, attack, or defense for the round, and it readies you, and then you have that boost to your, one of your stats. I've used Repurpose in a number of different heroes, most recently in Hawkeye and Rocket Raccoon. I think it's a really, really fun archetype. I think it's really powerful and versatile. It works better with some heroes than others. As we've discussed every single time, I am the protection player of the group. I love protection, but I do think this is one of those instances where protection offers a lot of variety that some of the other aspects don't, in my opinion, that I really enjoy. Repurpose is new and it's different. I think it came out with the SPDR pack.
Yeah, it did.
But it's really good. It's a good archetype. Rocket, I think, is best just because he has those weapons in his signature cards that allow him to keep them on the board after their uses are exhausted. Most weapons are discarded when you finish using them, so you can get your full uses and then wait till Repurpose comes up in your deck and then play it. I know, Mr. Meeson, you've played this deck too, right?
Yes. When Rocket came out, I played him and then kind of moved on and really never revisited him until Repurpose came out, and have just really come to like Rocket since. And I recognize he was powerful before Repurpose, but I've just really enjoyed the Repurpose build of Rocket.
Yeah, I agree. I actually think Rocket is one of the more powerful heroes in the game. The abilities he has baked into his kit and his signature cards are really, really strong.
I came back to Rocket since you two are protection players. So you guys saw Repurpose and immediately thought Rocket. When I saw Hone Technique is when I went back to Rocket. I saw a chance to do more damage than ever before, and I took it, and it was beautiful.
Yeah, the amount of damage Rocket can do is pretty crazy. Lazy Titan, what have you been playing lately?
Fitting with my common theme, I've been playing Aggression again. This time, War Machine. So I built a War Machine deck for the Con of Heroes, which was just last week, to use Yarnbjorn, which is a one-cost weapon that lets you spend a fist resource whenever you attack to deal 2 damage to an enemy. And I built the deck around playing my Shoulder Cannon, which lets you exhaust it to deal 1 damage and then spend 1 of War Machine's ammo counters to ready it. And I built the deck around only having fist resources and then using my Shoulder Cannon as many times as I could in a turn and spending all my cards in my hand to deal as much damage as I possibly could. And then I would use my Gauntlet Guns to play my War Machine events, which aren't often fist resources. And that was the deck. That was the idea. In practice, I didn't actually end up using the Shoulder Cannon plus Yarnbjorn combination as much as I hoped to. I often found that actually playing the cards in your hand was better than just spending them for fun, but I did really enjoy the deck, and it wasn't one of the best decks ever built, but it was very fun, and it was very fair, I think. It was much more toned down than a lot of my decks are often, and I found that War Machine's actually quite enjoyable. I have been watching you try to play War Machine for months now.
Yeah,
you've been trying to crack the code on him, and I finally was like, I'll try him out. And I tried it out, and I actually quite like him. I thought his economy was kind of garbage before I tried it. Once I built this deck, I realized that really just flipping every turn is kind of the key. You just have to make sure you flip down anytime you can, anytime you can afford it. And that really speeds up the economy. It means you basically never have to worry about his ammo. And using his chassis, which is one of his upgrades that lets you get a tough card every time you flip, you can basically take no damage and then do all your awesome stuff on top of that.
War Machine is low-key one of my favorite hero art sets.
Oh, he's beautiful.
I love all of the art on his cards. His alter ego is great. His hero side, a bunch of his cards I think are really, really cool. And it works really well together. And I've wanted to make him work. I just have never quite got him to feel as enjoyable as I would like to. I think he's solid. I'm going to keep working on him. Another repurpose candidate.
Yeah, probably.
Keiko?
All right, so I've been touching into a lot of Spider-Woman. So since the con, I've been talking a lot about Black Panther. Finally tried him out since we've done an episode on Wakanda Forever. But Spider-Woman is my girl. You asked me before, Boomer, but I haven't quite given a solid answer. I do think Spider-Woman is my favorite character to play Marvel Champions.
Wow.
So I've really been working on trying to perfect her for me personally to be my signature deck.
Okay.
So I've just been kind of taking cards out, taking cards in based on your suggestions. So I've been playtesting her a lot, and I'm sticking to aggression, of course, and leadership.
Mm. I like half of that.
Yeah, I saw you play that deck, or I've seen, or some variation of it. You've been tweaking it for a while. It's pretty good.
Thank you.
Yeah. The leadership is not my favorite, but it is good. I'll admit that. Mm.
I'll just illegally put in all four aspects.
I think she's a really powerful hero, like just because she has access to two different
aspects at a time.
Aspects, yeah. Really, makes her really, really good.
Which I guess I should have pointed out for anybody who might not be familiar with Spider-Woman is that her whole play style is that, yes, you get to pick two aspects. There needs to be an even amount of cards per aspect in her deck. So my choice, of course, like I said, is aggression and leadership because I like to play in this deck based around getting allies out there, specifically Avengers allies, which I know isn't unheard of, but it's something that I'm personally proud of because it's something that I've put together myself without consulting, for example, like Marvel CDB, the card database online. So that's just something I take a little pride in myself, is to build around a signature Spider-Woman deck.
That's cool because you can also add Boot Camp, which gives plus one attack to all your allies, in addition to having like team training and all those that you put in, or Mighty Avengers, right, to really boost all their abilities. That's cool. Mr. Meeson?
The guest of honor.
I've been playing some Black Panther Protection, Gambit Aggression, and Valkyrie Leadership lately.
Ooh.
The Black Panther Protection, just your typical protection build with Desperate Defenses, Never Back Down, etc. Played that one at the con. I also played the Gambit Aggression build a lot at the con. That's got a hone technique in it, and it performed better than I was expecting. Gambit Aggression is a lot of fun. And Valkyrie Leadership, I've never been a huge fan of Valkyrie, but I wanted to try giving her a fair run, and I think this deck gets her the closest to a fair run I can currently give her. It takes advantage of different aerial cards that leadership offers with aerial allies, and it did all right. I had my nemesis come out towards the end and put Seduced on her and just kind of shut down what I was able to offer at the end of the game. And I got my obligation also out at that time, so it really crippled my ability to contribute.
Yeah, her obligation is particularly nasty for her.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been a big fan of Valkyrie. I don't think anyone in the show has been. I just think she's one of the worst. I just think her hero kit doesn't work all that well. I think her cards don't interact all that well together. The Death Glow is a cool idea, but I just don't think it works in practice very well.
I did find that, I also put Quinn Carrier and I put Clarity of Purpose in the deck, and having both of those to be able to pay for Death Glow once or twice around helped, but I still think it's really hard that you have to devote specific resource generation outside of your hero kit to being able to play for those.
She should have a resource generator for the Death Glow to at least play it once around for free.
Like Hawkeye.
Yeah, like Hawkeye. She should have something. Her sword or her horse or something should generate a resource for the Death Glow, even if it's just once per round, because otherwise you have to pay for it, and it really, really slows her down.
I tried her also at the con, much like Mr. Meeson. I thought, hey, I'll give Valkyrie another shot. And clearly Mr. Meeson is either more patient or a better deck builder than I, because I played that deck and immediately vowed to never again. I swore off right then and there at the con. It was my last. It was the last straw, and I just wouldn't do it again. I played it in aggression, my favorite aspect. I played it in minions, my favorite version of that aspect, and it just, man, her cards are so bad. They're so bad.
Hulk's not looking too bad now, huh?
I said there at the con, I said while I was playing the deck, I would rather play Hulk right now because at least I'd have a bit.
I agree. I think Hulk is better. Actually, I think Hulk is just better than Valkyrie. That's
that,
my opinion.
I don't know if he's actually better because he has a four hand size. I think Valkyrie is technically better, but who knows? They're both. They're in the same tier, honestly. I think Hulk and Valkyrie are down there in their own little
They're both bottom
underworld
tier for me.
I will forever use that soundbite of Boomer saying Hulk is better. I will use that in everything I can. Just Hulk is better.
Cut that out and put it everywhere in social media. I hear myself saying Hulk is better for everything. I should say that we will mention the Con of Heroes quite a bit probably in this episode. We recorded last episode from the Con of Heroes live. You can listen to that. That was episode 5. Episode 6, we're recording the week after, so we are still talking a lot about Con of Heroes 2023. If you want to know more about Con of Heroes, I'll put some information in the show notes, but you can check out the last episode as well. So the next section we're going to talk about is the hero card of the day. But before we do that, I would like to introduce our guest. I should have done it at the top of the episode, but we're going to do it now. Our guest today, a special guest star on the podcast, the first guest on Winning Hand, is Mr. Meeson. So, Mr. Meeson, why don't you tell the people your backstory with the game? When did you start? What's your favorite aspect? Why is it protection? And what's your favorite hero?
I started with the game at launch when it released shortly before the pandemic. So got several games in, and then I got way more games than I was anticipating being able to play during lockdown, and have really come to enjoy Marvel Champions. I play all three of the co-op LCGs that Fantasy Flight puts out, Lord of the Rings, Arkham Horror, and Marvel Champions. I think of the three, Marvel Champions is the one that hits the table the most, just because it's very easy to pick up and play at the end of a work day.
100%.
As far as my favorite aspect, I'm surprised that was even a question. Protection is the only aspect as far as I am concerned, despite having said I played an aggression and leadership build earlier.
I'll overlook that. It's fine.
Thank you. Thank you.
I won't overlook this slight. The aggression players will remember this.
I just really enjoy the combos and the tricks that protection offers. Not that the other aspects don't offer combos and tricks, but I enjoy the play style that protection affords that the other three aspects just do something different. My favorite hero fluctuates all over the place. Right now, it's either going to be Gambit or it is going to be Star-Lord.
Wow. So Gambit, he's brand new.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the Gambit build. I played it at the con, and I had a Star-Lord build themed around leadership Iron Man, the ally, that I really enjoyed. And I just really enjoy the stories that come out of playing Star-Lord, too, when you have six encounter cards right in front of you and you're about to just get destroyed.
Yeah.
And then somehow still pull it out.
I think Star-Lord's great. He's a ton of fun. That risk-reward mechanic is really cool. It's unique. I quite enjoy him. Gambit is brand new. I've tried Gambit once or twice, maybe. I haven't played him a lot yet. I haven't been able to make him work. My first instinct was protection with him. The three defense and the free ready if you don't take damage from his guild armor, I think. And then the staff that deflects the damage when someone else attacks. Those led me right away to think protection would be his best build. But I just couldn't quite get it to work. I've seen a lot of people using him in aggression, and I think that may be his best aspect. But the verdict is probably out at this point because he's brand new.
Aggression's definitely his best aspect. No one can argue that.
Welcome to the pod, Mr. Meeson. We're glad to have you here. And you are going to join in our discussion today of Nova Prime, the signature ally for one of your favorite heroes. And as a special treat for our guest, would you please read the card for our audience so they know who we're talking about?
Nova Prime is a unique ally in Star-Lord's kit. He is a signature ally, Nova Prime, also known as Richard Rider. 5 cost, 2 thwart, 3 attack, takes the consequential damage after doing either of those, 3 hit points. traits of Aerial and Nova Corps with a response: after you play Nova Prime from your hand, defeat a non-elite minion. And if you don't want to play him, you can use him as a wild resource.
Yeah, he's a wild resource. We'll get to whether you would or wouldn't want to play him in final thoughts. Let's start by addressing the art and our local artist in residence, Keiko. Do you want to kick us off?
Yes. So as always, we like to point out, again, in case anybody's new to this, we have a running theory that if there is no artist credit in any of the cards that we talk about, then it comes from a source material, whether it's a comic or whatever it may be. This one does not have an artist credit, but I do think I actually found where this originated from. So what I have pulled up is Nova, issue number 36, published in 2010. And it looks like this art comes directly from the cover. The authors for that are Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning. And the illustrator is Andrea DeVito.
I think that name is on a number of cards, right?
Yes. I feel like I recognize that name from many cards.
I have a couple right here. She does the art for Boot Camp and Avengers Mansion. Several of, really just, she's just a running artist overall in Marvel Champions, it seems.
Yeah, seems to be a recurring artist.
What are your first thoughts on the art, Keiko?
I just love, again, the detail that's in it. I love that you can really feel the texture of the material just from looking at it. Obviously, we have here pictured, he's just in space in front of Earth. Part of me, I liked, I don't know how to explain it really, but I like how you feel that he is in space just because of the lighting that comes off of him, that kind of shines off of him. There's no filter, obviously, in space because of that. And you can really see that in the art that's here. I'm not particularly a fan of, he's got like two little bulbs on his chest and then one kind of right on his sternum. I'm not too big of a fan of that design, but I do like the light that comes off of it.
I mean, he looks like he lifts a lot of weights. He's jacked in this picture.
Yes, absolutely. He's got so muscular.
Muscles on his muscles.
Yeah.
Truly
ridiculous.
His six-pack
has a six-pack.
Yes.
He also has these like shoulder horns or something. I don't exactly know what those are. They're like these golden pointy. Yeah, I don't know what else to describe them. His helmet also has like very pointy kind of the Nova symbol is like sticking off the sides. It's very shiny and gold. He has kind of this like electricity coming off of his hands. You do feel the power. You feel like he's tensing and getting ready to do something. It's cool. I like it. I agree with you. I don't think the suit design is my favorite, but I don't know anything about Nova, so I don't know if that's a variation of his suit or if that just is his suit. I will say that I think the color palette for all of Star-Lord's signature cards is really cool. I like the maroon and the little stripe, the cream or kind of light-colored stripe, and then gray. It's a good combination. It looks good. And the little picture in the corner, which is always one of my pet peeves. Some of them are hideous. This one is good. I think we've talked before, they're usually worse when it's a face. Mm-hmm. Someone's like, often the faces look kind of funny.
It's hard to draw a face that small.
It is hard to draw a face that small, although I'm assuming they draw it bigger and then they just shrink it.
Oh, nice.
But the Star-Lord helmet's cool with the red eyes. I think that looks cool in the corner. The fact that it's a wild resource is useful.
From what I know about Nova, I don't know too much. I'm not like a comics reader or anything, but from what I know, the golden helmet is actually part of it. The golden helmet is a Nova helmet, which is what I believe gives him his powers. Whereas our Nova hero, Sam Alexander, has a black helmet, which is called a Supernova helmet, which is sort of a more powerful, like later edition of that, basically. So he basically, the golden helmet is part of his, I think it was what gives him his powers. And then the reason that he doesn't look exactly like the Nova heroes because they have different helmets.
I didn't realize there was like a hierarchy of Novas.
From what I understand, that's what it is. I'm sure someone will correct me, and as long as they're nice about it, I appreciate that.
I'm sure somebody will add us in the comments or in Discord and say the history of Nova. That's cool. We appreciate feedback.
Yes.
Please, if you know better about Nova, leave us a comment and a 5-star review. Let us know what you think.
I also don't know much about Nova or Richard Rider, but this pose is very menacing. It's a very typical pose, chin in, chest out, you know, really just showing the raw power that he has on top of the muscles that we mentioned before. One thing I wish they would add, though, is a little more yellow. The overall color scheme is black and yellow with like one little thing of red on his helmet. Not even a whole lot either. Like basically the only yellow on him is his shoulder plates, the little chest light I was talking about, and like a belt. Maybe if there was like some yellow on the sides of his torso, and then more yellow just on the lower body in general. You can mostly leave the top alone if it just had just one little bit of yellow on the sides, and then maybe more yellow lower body. I think that would make the art pop more.
I think he has some golden, like, gauntlets, I think, or like his bracers or something. But you can't really see it behind the magic cosmic power he's about to throw at somebody.
Yeah, what are his powers actually? Does anybody know?
It looks like he is summoning two tornadoes from his hands in the art.
I don't know anything about comics. None of us do, I don't think. So, again, if you do, correct us. But I don't really know what his powers are.
It's like pure energy.
But I do think he looks menacing. He looks powerful. He looks, you know, like he's defending Earth, like someone's flying towards Earth and he's standing in the way. You know, like, come at me, bro, kind of a pose. It's cool. It feels like a big difference from the other Star-Lord cards. Star-Lord doesn't feel like this menacing, really powerful. He's much more kind of playful and light, and I've always felt like this Nova art doesn't really fit with the rest of Star-Lord's kit. Mm-hmm. It kind of feels out of character.
I guess it's the idea is that he's calling the big guns, right? Star-Lord's kind of a jokey guy. He likes to mess around, but when worst comes to worst, you call in the big guns, Nova Prime shows up, and all that power, all that raw muscle, that strength is manifested in the ability to kill a maybe scary minion.
So that's a good segue into the theme of this card. How do we feel about the theme of this card, and does the art back that up?
I mean, I guess the overall theme is showing, again, that raw power, which I think the art definitely conveys. Another detail I like is just how small the eyes are. It really gives you, I think, as an opponent, less to look at. And I don't know, you can kind of feel it seething into your soul. And kind of, again, going into the art, I love the detail in the face, in the helmet. It's very menacing, like we pointed out before. I feel like you feel that in the theme of this card specifically.
Yeah, and the theme, right? He's that power, and he comes in and vaporizes a minion off the board, which can be really good, but there's one catch with that, Mr. Meeson.
It has to be non-elite.
Which, when it was released, I think might have been better than it is now. It feels like a lot of the minions have elite these days, at least the ones that you would need help with.
Basically, every minion that you ever see that's worth killing has elite. All of them, basically. Like, all the new encounter sets, Mystique, the Brotherhood, the Reavers, they're just not that many minions that are worth killing, paying five for an ally for, that you would need to kill that are elite, are not elite. There's just not that many.
I mean, you kind of feel, again, going off that ability, he comes in, like you said, vaporizes a minion, and that's what you're looking at. That's the pose he gives after he just obliterates somebody off the board. You can feel that.
But I just really feel like they missed a chance here for a five-cost ally to vaporize a minion, but it has to be non-elite. That is such a nerf of the power of this card. It really makes it a lot less fun, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like because he's locked into Star-Lord's kit, that it could have been a minion, period. Yes. I can't go put this in any other hero. This is locked to Star-Lord's deck.
Mm-hmm. Also, it costs five. Even if it wasn't locked to Star-Lord's kit, for me to pay five for an ally, it better be really good. And he isn't that good.
I don't pay five for really any allies. The five-cost allies are never worth it. Heimdall isn't that good. Dum Dum Dugan, I'm not a fan of. Captain Marvel, the leadership ally, I don't think is super good. Hercules is six, and I don't ever play him, even with his cost reduction.
Hmm.
Like, they just, five cost should be game changing. If you spend your whole turn playing a five cost ally, it should really alter the board state.
What I really wish this card did is interact with Star-Lord's ability. Ideally, he would give you an encounter card, like the aggression ally Sentry, who I wish this was, actually, because he comes into play, is pretty strong,
very strong.
Gives you an encounter card.
Yeah.
So that's what Star-Lord wants. Star-Lord wants more encounter cards. So if his ability just said, you know, it costs three maybe, and he still has a 2/3 and gives you an additional counter card, that would be really good because that juices up his sliding shot, which adds 2 damage per encounter card in front of you, and it juices up his jet boots and all of it, right?
Yeah. There's more consistent ways to get those. The Sentry, the aggression ally, like we said, is almost a better ally than this for Star-Lord specifically, and like the sentry costs 4. I think he has 5 hit points and the same stats, but mm-hmm. the same consequential. The sentry is a really powerful ally that you would almost play without Star-Lord, but mm-hmm. that free encounter card, you'd really want it, right?
I think they missed a chance to interact with what Star-Lord wants to do here. Nothing else about Star-Lord is about defeating minions, I feel like. So I just think that's a missed opportunity.
But let's get back to the card. We'll save our final thoughts. We'll save what we wish this card was. Let's talk about what it is.
I think that's fair. Mr. Meeson, you said Star-Lord is one of your favorite heroes. So tell me how you feel about Nova Prime.
I feel Nova Prime is situational. There was a game I played maybe 3 weeks ago or so where I played Nova Prime for the first time in quite a long time, and that was to remove a guard minion that had double Homo Superior on it. I felt that was a worthwhile play of Nova Prime because that got through 13 hit points and a tough in one go.
Yeah.
Outside of that, I really never play Nova Prime because I'd much rather use Star-Lord's ability, which is to play a card from your hand and deal yourself a face-down encounter card to reduce the resource cost of that card by 3. I'd rather use that ability to play a sliding shot or an element gun or literally anything else.
Because you will have to almost certainly use his ability to play Nova Prime because he costs 5.
Costs so
exactly.
much.
And 5 is ridiculous. So if you're going to use his ability, like you said, to take an encounter card to reduce that cost, you'd rather get a better payoff. So one of the things that bothers me about Nova Prime here is that the signature allies, and you just touched on it, Mr. Meeson, you said he's very situational. I think signature allies should be the ones you always want to play, right? There are some heroes who have signature allies that every single time it's in your hand, you're going to play it. Mm-hmm. This is not one of those.
Yeah. I also think that going back to what Mr. Meeson said about Star-Lord's ability lets you reduce the cost of a card by 3, which is very powerful. That's extremely good and extremely fun to do. You can only do it once per round, which makes it quite precious. So you can't mm-hmm. just keep doing it. And so a problem that Star-Lord runs into is a lot of his cards are a little bit more expensive than I feel like they need to be because he has that ability, because he has such a powerful ability to reduce that. But that also means that if you draw a handful of Star-Lord cards, you really can't play that many because you have to take an encounter card to play Nova Prime. Your element guns are kind of expensive. You want to take an encounter card for those. You want to take one for sliding shot. You just kind of have to really pick and choose about where you use your ability. And Nova Prime isn't good enough to get that one use of the ability most of the time.
Yeah.
He'd have to be really something special to use that one ability on him every time and still pay 2 resources from your hand.
Yeah, that's my biggest issue with Star-Lord overall. And maybe we're getting beyond this card a little bit much and talking a lot about Star-Lord. But I think when they designed Star-Lord, the designers used his signature ability to reduce a cost by 3 in basically every card they put in his kit. I think many of them cost too much, in my opinion. And the thinking maybe was that, oh, well, you can always reduce a cost by 3. So if Nova Prime only costs 3, that's too good, so we have to make it 2 more expensive. And we can't make his element guns cost 2 because you're going to use the ability anyway. So I think that's an issue overall with his kit. But Nova Prime, man, if it just didn't have the non-elite thing, if he could just wipe a minion, that would make this basically 90% of the time it hits my hand, I would play this card because it would be worth it. You'd feel like you're getting value out of it. The non-elite thing really kills Nova Prime for me. And it really, to circle back on the theme, really nerfs the theme for me completely. If he's supposed to be this all-powerful dude, but really the only thing he can wipe off the board is maybe a sentinel or like a low-level criminal, it doesn't make me feel like he's that powerful.
Mm-hmm. If he can't fight any supervillain, like even Sandman from the Rhino in the core set is elite, who has 4 hit points. Like, if Nova Prime can't kill Sandman, I don't know, feels a little off theme. I don't know. I feel like he's
well, done. Like you touched on a minute ago, the elite keyword, I think, is a little too prevalent these days with minions. I think many of them are getting it and they don't necessarily need it. Nova Prime can't even defeat Star-Lord's nemesis minion, Mr. Knife, who I just looked up is also elite. I don't know. I think that really nerfs the power for me and makes him feel less powerful than he probably should feel based on who the character is and the art that I'm looking at. Because the art, first of all, you think, man, this guy's a beast. And then he's not.
He's just making an example out of that lowly Hydra bomber in the corner. That's all.
Which, so arguably not superhero like.
Yeah, that's true. But so I've been kind of listening the three of you talk about Nova Prime, and as somebody who's not familiar with the game all that much, mm-hmm. and seeing this card at face value, it's kind of surprising to me to hear that he's not really worth it. I mean, for the cost, I guess I can understand that, but 2 thwart, 3 attack, 1 consequential. And Star-Lord's whole gimmick, again, I'm going to repeat, his abilities, you get a face-down encounter card to play your next card at 3 less cost. So Nova mm-hmm. Prime, technically, in that sense, being a 2 cost. Like, to me, yeah. that sounds like, oh, that sounds pretty good to me. So hearing mm-hmm. the three of you say otherwise, it's kind of surprising to me. And then again, also off the top of my head, I don't know who is or isn't who is or isn't elite. Mm-hmm. So that, again, at face value, that ability sounds pretty good to me. Because I'm imagining, like, if a minion has a tough card and that just Nova Prime just wipes them. So that's, yeah, I don't know. This yeah. seems like something I would play, but maybe it's because it's a signature ally. Maybe if it was just a regular, any old ally.
I think there are
ally.
Situations where you play him, right? And like Mr. Meeson said a minute ago, he had a minion that had multiple upgrades on it to add hit points and add attack, and it had a tough card. So in that situation, I also probably would to wipe a, mm-hmm. 10 hit point minion off the board with tough. But generally, I just feel like Star-Lord's ability, because it's limited to once per phase or round.
It's round.
Once per round, I think.
Once
so
per round.
You can do it once. Yeah, there's just other things you'd rather do it for, right? Like, much rather even play Avengers Mansion with that ability, yeah. or Helicarrier with that ability.
True.
Or my Sliding Shot. Like, there's just other cards that I would rather use that for than this. And I think it's not fair to say it costs 2 with that ability, because you then do have to deal with the encounter card. Yeah. So that is a cost, but it's a pretty variable cost, so it's hard to really quantify. Also, I'm not a math nerd, and I just want to play the game and have fun. But so that's for me. I just think there's better cards to use it on. If you could use it every single time, as many times as you wanted to reduce it by 3, then yeah, maybe that makes him a little bit better. And I don't know all the elite minions off the top of my head either.
One thing I'll say to your point, Kaiko, is that as a newer player, I can definitely see that that ability looks very attractive. I remember when when Star-Lord first came out, I was like, man, this is amazing. But the more and more you play the game, I guarantee you, if you can think of any minion that you would want to hit with this ability off the top of your head, 95% of the time, if you look it up, it's going to have a lead on it.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't know the card pool as well as someone who's been all the way in, it definitely seems better than it is. But if you look through your collection right now, you will find that almost every single minion that has at least 5 hit points is elite. Basically all of them. In every encounter set, like the Sinister Six, they're all elite. The Reavers, the Brotherhood, Mystique.
Inheritors,
all of them. Every single one is elite, and basically they just have been forever. And so at the time, it wasn't as common, so you could hit like smaller minions. Like you can hit like the Badoons from Drang in the Guardians box, but just the amount of elite minions is so much, and the amount and the power of the non-elite minions is so low that it's just not worth really doing. Like you're going to kill like a weapons runner, or at best like a Hydra Exo Soldier, or if you're playing like Zola, you'll maybe kill one of his upgraded people. There's just so many minions that are elite that it really nerfs the power of this card. It's just it's not as impressive as it seems at first glance.
I think it's more of an issue with the proliferation of the elite keyword and with the design more so than anything. I think they should have been a little more stingy with that, the designers. Okay, so then in terms of fun, we've talked about the art and the theme, and I think there's a little bit of a disconnect there between the power and what he actually does, his ability at least. Although his 2 thwart and 3 attack are good.
That's great.
But how fun is this card to play? When it hits your hand, how often are you excited to play it? How does it enhance your games? Like, how fun is it?
Whenever this card hits my hand, I get really excited that I exhaust the element gun and spend this wild resource to deal 3 damage with piercing.
Exactly. The wild resource on this card matters more than most.
But appropriately, it's a wild resource. So any of you who have the Nova pack and know that his whole kit interacts with wild resources, it's fun that I don't know if it's a coincidence or if they did it on purpose. This also has a wild resource on it.
Yeah, and that is nice.
Fun-wise, it's just fodder for your element guns.
Like I said, I situationally play him. If there's a very good clear target that removing a guard minion with 10 plus hit points is going to help the aggression player do more damage. Mm-hmm. I will absolutely play Nova Prime to get through that barrier. Otherwise, I'm probably just using him as a resource.
One thing I will say also about that is because there's so many minions that you can't hit with this, that when you do see a minion that it's worth hitting, it does feel like Christmas in whenever you're playing. It's very nice to see that 1 in a million chance where it's like, oh, that thing's got 12 hit points because of some Zola upgrades. I can kill it. But it's just kind of sad until you get there.
Because that is Nova's ability, right? To destroy or discard a non-elite minion. Every time I have it in my hand, I scan the table looking for minions. And then the first thing is, maybe there's no minions out there. In which case, it feels bad to play Nova Prime, even with the 2-3 stat line, because you feel like you're wasting a big part of his ability. The second case is you look around at the minions, and the only minions there are either elite minions, so they don't qualify, or they're so low level, like a weapons runner, that you think, well, that's kind of a waste, and you don't want to sink the resources in, so you don't play it. Because that's ability, you don't want to waste that ability because you're sinking 5 resources into it, you know, a combination of reducing the cost with taking in a counter card or paying the actual resources. It just feels bad. It doesn't feel fun to play unless I'm going to get that value like Mr. Meeson spoke to. I don't think it's all that fun.
Yeah.
When this episode first started up, I thought it looked really good. It looked exciting. But upon hearing the three of yours assessments and honestly thinking on it too, like 3 health ain't that great. Yeah, it just doesn't really sound that exciting to use. I was also failing to realize that, yeah, in a hand, he might not be the best to play because, like you said, there might be other high cost cards you'd rather play. So on its own, like, it looks like, oh yeah, this, I'd play him. But in reality, yeah, I could see that as like, oh, I'd rather just use him as a resource.
It's just kind of disappointing to draw it into your hand often. I just feel like, ugh, it's Nova.
Yeah.
Unless I draw a handful of double resources or, you know, whatever, it most of the time just feels like I'm going to pitch it for my element gun or I'll just pay for another card with it.
And another thing about Star-Lord's economy is that one encounter card feels like it's a really powerful ability, but because I think the designers built it, every single card they thought of was built with that in mind. So they're like, oh, Sliding Shot, it basically costs 0. Nova Prime, he's really a 2-cost ally and he kills a minion, but you can't use it that many times. So when every card is designed to be good if you use the ability, they're all bad if you don't. So that means one card in your hand is good once a turn, and the rest of them are just kind of all right because you didn't get to use your ability. Where you want to build it with something like Miss Marvel, a hero who all your cards are good in your hand, but you can use her ability to just make one of them even better. Mm-hmm. So rather than all your cards suck unless you use Miss Marvel's ability, and they don't suck. Star-Lord's cards are all right. But unless you use your ability, they're not as good. Then it's better to have your ability be a bonus rather than like kind of an obligation to do it. Like you have to use it or else your hero doesn't really work. You want to be like, I think this is cool. I'm going to get to use my Star-Lord power.
Yeah, I think if this just didn't have the non-elite keyword, it would be one of my favorite cards in Star-Lord's entire kit because you would be able to wipe a minion off the table, and that's an amazing ability. That would be so fun. You'd feel like, oh, Nova's here. I'm calling in the big guns. Let's wipe out Scorpion, or let's wipe out the Inheritors or whatever. And you'd feel really good about paying 5 for it.
And I think, like I said earlier, it's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy that every minion that's elite has to be not Nova Primable.
So, hypothetical question then. The ability stays the same. What's the cost you're willing to pay for that ability?
I was talking earlier about how Star-Lord's cards, you can't build them all with the assumption of his ability.
What if he was a 3-cost ally? How would you guys feel about him?
I was going to say 4. I was going to say 3.5, but our general rule is whenever we discuss edits to cards we'd like, is if it's right in the line, you round up, because just to keep the balance in check. So I think 4 is a fair cost, because then you can use your Nova Prime, then you can use your Star-Lord ability, and that's 1 cost, and that's a real discount. And then if you don't use your Nova Prime or your Star-Lord ability, you can still play a 4-cost ally. It's kind of a lot, but you can still play it. And it's not sinking your entire turn into playing one card to not kill an awesome minion. Then if you pay 4, it's like, oh, okay, cool. It's like a better Nick Fury damage. It's just like, oh, it comes in, kills a minion, done. That's all you need. The 3 cost would almost feel too good. He's free with Star Wars ability, and just like 3-cost allies are pretty easy to play. Like Mockingbird's a 3-cost ally. Is that the same power level as Mockingbird?
So I'll say off the bat, for all the listeners, and to address Mr. Meeson's question, I am not one of those, and I'm on record as saying this before, who turns this into a math exercise. I know somebody is going to jump in the comments, and I'm not throwing shade out if you do this, but someone's going to jump in the comments and tell me the effective resources that they're paying of the cost multiplied by how many activations divided by the number of blocks they can do and come up with some formula to tell me how effective or not effective it is. I'm not saying that's a bad way to play the game. That's not how I play it. My gut tells me if he cost 3, I would play him every single time.
Every time.
My gut tells me if it cost 4,
you would
it
play
would be more often than it is now, but it would be less often because of his ability being that 3. Whenever you play a Star-Lord card, the cutoff is kind of 3. Like, I get it for free at 3. It's not free, well, free, so-called, right? Mm-hmm. It's not free at 4.
Which is why a lot of his cards cost 3.
Right. So I think for me, if it cost 3, I'd play it every single time. But that's just acknowledging that there are some people online who play the game differently, think about the game differently, and there's no right or wrong way to think about it. I saw someone build an entire deck and explain it on Marvel CDB of why Captain Marvel, the 5-cost ally, is one of the best allies in the game. My gut tells me Captain Marvel's not that great. 5 is too much to pay, and you have to have a deck full of lightning resources or it doesn't do anything. So we all have different views in the game. For me, my gut says if it had a 3 on it, I'd play it probably every single time, even with the elite restriction. What do you think, Mr. Meeson?
If the card cost 4, I would play it more. I feel like he would hit the table more, even just if it was eliminating a guard minion that had 3 hit points.
Yeah.
Because if you're using Star-Lord's ability, you're only paying 1 extra resource card out of your hand instead of 2, in addition to losing the card by playing him.
One of the things the Guardians have, right, is other than Helicarrier, they don't have access to a consistent resource generator. They don't have access to X-Jet or Quincarrier or any of those. So often I find when I'm playing them, I have a little harder time coming up with those free resources. Quincarrier is great for Avengers. And then as a general rule, we should say, right, if the card is cheaper, it will hit the table more often. So you said if it's
always
4, it would hit the table more often. Well, you could say if it was 3, it would hit even more often. If it was 2, it would hit even more. And we could just go down the line.
That's good.
But really what we're talking about is where we draw the line
the fair
fairness.
Cost. I think the fair cost, like you said, is probably 3.5. I think with 3, you'd play it probably every single time using your hand. And I think with 4, you'd play it more than you do now, but not all the time.
And I think with 3, you'd have to nerf his stat line. 3 with 3, like, it's just too good.
Or just give him 2 hit points, like Vivian.
Mm-hmm. On the flip side, how much would you guys be willing to pay for this card if we were to strike that non-elite restriction? Because I was thinking 6. I was thinking you up it to 6, but it wipes any minion and keeps the stat line, maybe even better.
I think I would keep it at 5. I don't think I would pay 6 because you're using your ability and then you're dumping 3 cards. Card 4 is Nova Prime, so you only have 1 card left in your hand.
But you have Star-Lord, so you could have that up to +3 hand size from your helmet. So even if we just assume you took 1 encounter card, you have a 6 hand size, probably 7. But then you're getting the true, like, godlike power that is shown in the art, right? You're getting that just anyone. Mystique shows up, wipe her off the board. You get the dragon from Mojo, boom, gone. Anything, just completely erased. And that's real power.
I think 6 makes anything situational. I think the Captain America ally, the 6 cost, whose cost is reduced by 1 for each Avenger you have in play, is one I don't really play very often. Even when I build a lot of Avenger decks, it just doesn't go in all that often.
Mm-hmm. Same with Hercules.
It just feels like it's a lot of hoops to jump through, right? If I draw Captain America in my hand, it's a dead card unless I have multiple Avengers out. I think I would feel the same way. If this was 6 costs, it's an entire turn, and yeah, it wipes a minion. I just think I don't know. I don't think I would. I would probably keep it at 5. I think I'd agree with Mr. Meeson. If you struck the non-elite and kept it at 5, I'd probably play it 80 to 90% of the time it was in my hand.
Yeah. I can think of at least 1 6-cost ally I'd play every time, and that's the Destroyer. But other than that,
that's an inside joke for all your listeners. We'll get there someday.
We'll get there someday.
It'll be an episode.
It'll be we do an episode of Destroyer. But yeah, 6 maybe is too much. But I feel like 5, I mean, you obviously have to tweak it. If you up that, cross off that non-elite, you have to probably lower his stats a little bit. But I think that's fair.
I'd play one with lower stats if he cost 5 and destroyed any minion.
Oh, 100%. Yep.
If he was a 1-1, I'd play. Yeah. We've talked about the art, the theme, kind of we've mixed fun and power into one. Let's kind of hit our final thoughts on Nova Prime. I'll start. My final thoughts on Nova Prime is that the art is cool. The theme doesn't quite hit for me, and the fun and the power is really hampered by the text on his card. One of the things that I consistently find in the game is that I wish many of the signature allies interacted with the hero in a way that enhanced what the hero is already doing. There's a number of examples I can think of where the hero and the signature ally don't quite mesh. And I think this is one of those. I wish that Nova came in and maybe his stat line was 0-0, but it was +1 for each encounter card in front of you. Or he cost one less for each encounter card in front of you. Or he gave you an encounter card. Then he interacted in some way with what Star-Lord is trying to do, which is gather encounter cards to use for his sliding shot and his gutsy move. That's what I wish he did. Instead of doing kind of a generic ability, right, that anybody could have done that doesn't really interact with Star-Lord very well, or like on the thematic level in any way, or mechanically, and also ends up not being that great. So my final thoughts on him, if I had to give him a score with 5 being true neutral, I'd probably put him at a 4 or a 5. For me, it's not a great card. It's not a bad card. 5 is right in the middle of the ranking, 1 to 10. But it's one, it's very situational. It costs too much, and I just don't play that much. Keiko?
See, this one's tough. If it was the very beginning of the episode looking at this card, face value, I probably would have jumped at like 7, like, oh, this sounds exciting to play. But over the course of the episode, upon hearing your assessments, upon thinking about it myself, and honestly, with it being a signature ally, like, I probably won't ever really pick up Star-Lord. So then you'd have to think about how to play this ally to a Star-Lord deck specifically. I'd probably jump all the way down to like a 4 or 3. Like, personally, I probably wouldn't ever play him at this point. Yeah.
Lazy Titan?
Well, I've griped about this card for long enough. But one thing I will say is, as Mr. Meeson mentioned earlier, character specific cards can be more powerful because they are locked to a character. Because you can't play them in any deck or even in any aspect deck. A lot of times those allies and those events are a lot more powerful than we generally see, and I think that this one doesn't hit that. It also, like Boomer said, it doesn't help the plan that Star-Lord wants, and that's a gripe I have commonly with a lot of signature allies, like people like Quicksilver in the Scarlet Witch deck or Scarlet Witch in the Quicksilver deck. Both don't do what the other wants, and this doesn't help you play Star-Lord. Because it's not elite, it doesn't really help you play any aspect. The stats are good, but not like exceptional, so it doesn't really help you there. And it costs far too much. 5 is far too much for any card, really. I think I'm going to have to give it a Keiko, a 3, maybe a 4. It's just an underwhelming card in most aspects. The stat line is good, and it's, yeah, nothing about this card's exceptional.
Mr. Meeson?
Yeah, I would peg him at probably a 4. The cost just doesn't match the ability, in my opinion. And it's really hard when you look at other heroes that have really solid signature allies, and then Star-Lord has the signature ally that you just don't play that often. So I'd rather have the signature ally be someone who's 90% of the time you want to play the ally.
Yeah, I agree. Well, we kind of all ended up a little negative on this one, but that's the nature of the card pool, right? There's thousands of cards, and we're not going to love all of them. Listeners, if you disagree, please feel free to leave comments. Let us know what you think. I read all the comments. I read most of the comments, I should say, and I usually respond. So if you have a difference of opinion, please let us know. I'm not saying that everything we said is correct. That's just our opinion of it.
And obviously, you can play Nova Prime. You shouldn't feel bad if you play Nova Prime or if you like this card.
No.
Play Absolutely. However you want to. If you enjoy this, if you like playing Star-Lord, if this is the card you play every time you play Star-Lord, go for it. Have a great time.
At the end of the day, you should play the game how you want to play, and you should enjoy it however you enjoy it. And don't let our opinion sway you from playing any card that you want to play.
If you guys have any suggestions for any other cards, we'd like to hear that too. And also, if you'd like to give us your thoughts on our honorary guest, Mr. Meeson, and how he's going to replace me as the third on the show.
Well,
the true nature of the cast has been unveiled.
He's not replacing Keiko yet. But yeah, if you have any other suggestions for cards, we've gotten a number of people commenting and writing in and hitting me up in Discord, kind of suggesting cards that they would like to hear about. I'm always interested to hear from people who listen to the show and who want to listen to certain cards or hear us talk about a card they like or they don't like. So feel free to get in touch. Speaking of getting in touch, you can find us on YouTube. Our channel name is Winning Hand. You can find us on Instagram at Winning Hand Podcast. We're also in the Discord. I am BoomGuy57. Keiko is Keiko64. Lazy Titan is LazyTitan421. And Mr. Meeson is MrMR.Meeson, M-E-S-O-N. If you want to hit him up in the Discord, you can. I'm sure he'd be happy to talk to you about anything Marvel Champions, just like all four of us would. That does it for another episode of Winning Hand, the podcast about Marvel Champions, one card at a time. We hope you tune in next episode, where we will be talking about a protection card that is near and dear to my heart and is fairly recent to the card pool. So I hope you will enjoy, and I hope you will tune in for that episode. Thank you for listening, and this is Boom Guy saying goodbye.
See ya.
Adios.
Love you all.